Episode 78, The Battle of Jericho. Welcome to the History of the Bible. In the last episode, we talked about the way that ancient warfare was waged in the late Bronze Age. More often, a siege against a city was a waiting game during this time in history. Siege towers weren't a thing. The only way to get past the enemy walls was through the gate or over the top with ladders. However, as we talked about a couple of episodes ago, the walls of Jericho had an inner wall and a secondary wall as well. The city had within it a fresh water spring that provided enough water for the whole city without end. The year's harvest had just been brought into the city, so there would not be any need for food from the people within for at least a year. This is the situation that Joshua and the Israelites were coming into. Yet, the Lord had given them a plan for conquering the city. It was time to begin walking. Each day, the Israelites were to walk around the whole city once. This would take about an hour and a half to do so. However, on the seventh day, they were to walk around the city seven times. And Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, begins the narrative of the Battle of Jericho. For 6 days, the Israelites got up early every morning, got prepared for battle, and walked out in formation around the city. It would be the main army walking in front, the priest with the ram's horns, which they blew the whole time during the walking, the Ark of the Covenant, and then the rear guard. In the morning, they would go out, and then they would come back and spend the night at camp. However, during the time of walking around the city, Joshua told the people that they were not to make a sound. He didn't want a single word to go out of their mouth while walking around Jericho. Only when Joshua gave the word to shout were they allowed to speak. The reason for this is believed to be that the words that come out of a person's mouth have a lot of power over the current situation. The people murmuring in unbelief is what got the Israelites to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So Joshua recognized that the words that people speak when facing challenges and opposition can bring freedom or bondage. Joshua's refusal for the Israelites to speak doubt into the conquering of Jericho allowed for the hearts to be more inclined to what God would do rather than what the Israelites would do. On the seventh day, Joshua gave the Israelites new instructions because the seventh day was the day that the walls would be coming down. Now, before we get to the walls coming down, we will mention those new instructions that Joshua gave. He ordered that when the people were to shout, the walls would come down. At that point, each man was to go straight forward into the city. However, nothing of the city was to be kept. All of it was to be destroyed. The only things that were to be kept were the different metals, gold, silver, bronze, and iron were all to go into the treasury of the Lord. Everything else, though, was all meant to be destroyed. This included every man, woman, and child. All the animals were to be killed, oxen, sheep, and donkeys. Everything was meant to be put to the edge of the sword. As a side note, this would indicate the type of sword that they were using and one which they would slash. This would be the sickle sword. The only people who would live from within the city were Rahab and her family, those who stayed inside her house during the battle. On the seventh day, when the Israelites would walk around the city seven times, it would take about 10 hours to do so, or thereabout. After the people had walked around the city seven times, the ram's horns were blown with great enthusiasm, and the people gave a great shout as loud as they could. This was not just a small cry from the people. Rather, it was a battle cry, one that was meant to terrify the enemies just from the screams of the soldiers. When the soldiers gave their battle cry and the priest blew the trumpets, the Lord stepped into the battle. It says in Joshua 6, verse 20, "Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it." When it says that the men went straight forward into the town, the word is Allah, which means to ascend or to go up, to rise. This word is used because it refers to the men having to ascend into the city, as the walls were sometimes 40 feet or 12 meters higher than the ground surface. But what is also interesting about the word Allah is that it also has its root word deriving from the word Elyon, which means highest, which is part of the divine title used for God, El Elyon, which means the most high God. When the men went straight forward into the city, Joshua told the two spies to go and bring Rahab and her family out of the city so that they would be protected and safe. It says in Joshua 6, verse 23, that they brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all other relatives that were in the house with Rahab. No other details are given in the Bible regarding the Battle of Jericho, only that the soldiers burned the city and everything in it. Only the different metals were kept so that they could be placed in the Lord's treasury. Anything alive, people and animals, were all killed. When the battle was over, Joshua placed a curse on the city. Joshua 6, verse 26 says, "May the curse of the Lord fall on anyone who tries to rebuild the town of Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest son, he will set up its gates." As we'll come to find out, over 500 years later, this curse would come about. Many scholars believe that Joshua placed this curse on Jericho so that it would prevent anyone from wanting to rebuild the city. Others say that it was meant to be destroyed so that it could be dedicated to the Lord, and the ruins would remain as a sign to all coming generations of what the Lord did for the Israelites. Either way, when the city was destroyed, the reputation of Joshua and the Israelites spread throughout all the land of Canaan, and the fear came upon them all. The conquering of Jericho was not an easy task to do, but because the Lord was with Israel and gave them the exact plans on how to take the city, the Israelites were able to do so. Now, to talk a little bit about the walls of Jericho, it says that when the priests blew their horns and the army shouted, the walls collapsed. Today, the city of Jericho has been debated to have been destroyed by the Egyptians, supposedly 100 years before the Israelites ever arrived in the land of Canaan. This is why many believe that the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho is only just that, a story. A man-made-up story that inspired the later generations of the Israelites to tell a folk tale that made Joshua out to be a hero that was never real. Some scholars make fun of Joshua conquering a city that supposedly didn't even exist. No wonder Joshua had such an easy time conquering it. Based on excavations that happened during the 1950s, the destruction of Jericho happened in the mid-1500s BC. However, with more recent discoveries, the evidence of Jericho being destroyed seems to have taken place around 1400 BC, not 1550 BC by the Egyptians. 1400 BC was during the Late Bronze Age period, the exact time that the Bible says that Joshua and the Israelites were beginning their campaign to conquer the land of Canaan. Other evidence shows pottery that has been found that dates to the 15th century or during the 1400 BC period. Other things about Jericho line up perfectly with what the Bible says. Today, there has been discoveries of large amount of pots and jars with grain stored in them. When the Israelites came into the land, it says that it was during the time of harvest, in Joshua 3 verse 15. And with the siege against Jericho only lasting 7 days, there would have been plenty of food within the city after the Israelites had attacked. The grain itself has been discovered to be charred, burned by fire. This points out two things. One, there is proof of there being a fire, because the Bible does say that Joshua had the city set on fire after being captured. The other thing that it points out is that the people didn't take anything. As an invading army in foreign land, grain and food supplies were of great value because they would provide the needed food for the army. This would make the grain and food within the city very valuable to the Israelites. However, the Lord said to them that they were not allowed to take anything from Jericho except the various metals that would be placed within the Lord's treasury. But everything else was burned. This included the grain and food supplies. Again, there have been discoveries of many jars and pots full of grain that show signs of being burned. It wasn't just a little food here and there. The people of Jericho had enough food supplies to last them a year of being under siege, if needed. Now, as for the walls, these walls are what make the city famous. It says that the walls fall flat in Joshua 6 verse 20. Other translations say that the walls fell beneath itself. Today, there has been discoveries through different excavations that the walls did fall. If we remember, the city of Jericho had two sets of walls, an inner wall and an outer wall. Between the two walls was an embankment that was held in place by a stone retaining wall that stood between 12 to 15 feet in height, or 4 to 5 meters. Then on top of the retaining wall would be the actual wall. This wall would be about 6 feet wide, 2 meters, and about 20 to 26 feet high, or 6 to 8 meters. Because of the retaining wall, it would create a slight hill that went up to the second wall, the original walls, or the inner walls. The inner walls were about 46 feet or 14 meters above the ground level of the retaining walls. There was no way for the Israelites to climb these walls. However, when the walls did fall, they fell in a way that the inner walls fell toward the outer walls, and the outer walls fell towards the Israelites who were walking around the city. In this way of falling, the walls would create a ramp from the ground surface to the inner city. This is what made it possible for the whole army of Israel to go straight forward and take the city. Excavations of the city show exactly this happening. In a report of the findings at Jericho, it says fallen red bricks piled nearly to the top. These probably came from the wall on the summit of the bank, the brickwork from above. This means that the walls at the top fell so that the ramp could be made for the Israelites. Now, we also remember Rahab, the prostitute who hid the spies from the king of Jericho. It says that she let the spies out of her window by a rope so that they could escape into the hill country. That meant that her house was built into the outer walls. And it shows how high the walls were because the spies needed to be let down using a rope from her window. As Rahab's house, and it being a portion of the walls, we would think that her house would have fallen, killing all of those inside the building. However, In Joshua 6, verse 22, Joshua instructs the spies to go into the house of Rahab and bring her and her family out of the city to safety. But when Joshua tells the spies to go get Rahab, the walls have already fallen, but not Rahab's house. What's interesting is that when excavations of the city happened, there were discoveries that showed sections of the wall did not get destroyed. On the north side of the city, the walls have been found to still be standing. The walls that surround the rest of the city were all destroyed, but only in the north section did the walls stay intact. The walls on the north side are still standing today at about 8 feet tall, with houses built up against the wall. One of these houses could very well have been the house of Rahab, where the two spies made their escape from the city. In addition to finding the walls falling in a way that made a ramp for the Israelites, and the sectional wall that could have housed Rahab and her family, it has been discovered that the city was set ablaze. As we talked before, in Joshua 6, verse 24, it says that the Israelites burned the city and everything in it. In excavations of the city, there have been found in some places burned ash and debris that is about 3 feet thick. Here's what they found. The destruction was complete. Walls and floors were blackened or reddened by fire, and every room was filled with fallen bricks, timbers, and household utensils. In most rooms, the fallen debris was heavily burnt. This is what they have found to be the case in Jericho. However, it continues by saying that the collapse of the walls seems to have taken place before they were affected by the fire. What has been found in the city of Jericho's excavation is the same thing that we find to be written in the Bible. The Bible says that the walls fell. Excavations have found that the walls fell in a way that almost acted like a ramp so that the Israelites' army could go straight ahead and attack. The walls have been discovered to have fallen before the city was burned. The Bible says the same thing. When the fire started, it burned many jars and large storage pots of grain. The Bible says that when the siege began, it was shortly after the harvest, and that the Israelites were also commanded to burn everything in the city. Excavations have found a portion of a wall still standing, the only section of the wall that has houses built right up against the walls themselves. Rahab's house was built into the walls, and it was not destroyed. And we know this because Joshua commanded the two spies to go into Rahab's house and get her and her family after the walls had fallen. Now, there is one question that hasn't been addressed, and that is, how did the walls fall? Yes, we know what way they fell down, and because of their falling down toward the Israelites, it created a ramp. But what caused the walls to fall in the first place? Even this is buried in history. In the report of the Bible, it just says that the walls fell down when the men shouted and the priests blew their trumpets. However, multiple archaeological digs have found that when the city was destroyed, earthquakes were active. This would mean that God used earthquakes to cause the walls of Jericho to fall down. But not all of the walls. Remember Rahab's house? The use of something that we would consider natural, like an earthquake, God used it at the exact moment that the Israelites shouted. This should still be seen as a miracle by the Lord. For the Lord to use natural things to do His will is not a downgrade on the miracle that still happened. This would be the Battle of Jericho. It was a battle in which the Israelites had to hardly do anything but obey what the angel of the Lord told Joshua to do. Word of this victory for the Israelites would spread to all the surrounding nations that lived in the land of Canaan, and it would bring great fear upon them. However, we'll discover that not every detail of the Lord's command regarding Jericho was followed, and it would cost the Israelites. So join us next time in episode 79, The City of Ai. Until next time, remember that you are loved, special, and worthwhile. Thanks for listening to the History of the Bible. Let's get the word out by liking, rating, and following the show. This episode was produced by Nikeo Productions. To check out other shows, search for Nikeo Productions wherever you listen to podcasts.